Welcome to the ABCs of the Bible, a radio ministry dedicated to bringing you the Word of God. God promises that when His Word goes forth, it won't come back void, but will accomplish that which He pleases.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to our study on the Book of Job, where we're discussing the topic, Is God Guilty as Charged? In previous programs, we saw how Satan the devil put God on trial. His accusation against God was that God knew that he was no good, worthless, and that God therefore had to pay people to get them to worship him. That was Satan's accusation against God. God said, no, that's not true. Maybe some people do that. He acknowledged that. But he said, not everybody does that. And as proof of that, God submitted Job actually as his witness in the case. And indeed, Job testified on God's behalf that he served God in the good times and the bad times. He said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord our God. And so in that trial where Satan put God on trial and made accusations against him, Job came through with flying colors testifying on God's behalf, and God was vindicated. So God didn't have a problem with Job at that time. In fact, God even made it very clear to Satan that Satan had moved God against Job without cause. In other words, there was nothing Job did wrong that caused God to unleash Satan on Job. That wasn't the point, that Job had done some great sin and therefore he was suffering. That was far from the truth. So God didn't have a problem with Job. Job wasn't suffering because of some sin. But there was a problem that God developed with Job after Job developed a problem with God, because Job started out great. In that first trial, he testified marvelously on God's behalf. But something happened that caused Job to eventually put God on trial, because Job also made some accusations against God. Now, have you ever noticed the subtle difference in God's analysis of Job after witnessing Job's responses to the two parts of his tribulation during the first trial? After the commencement of the first part of his tribulation, when Job's children and servants died and his possessions were stolen, God said of Job, and this is in Job chapter 1 and verse 22, he said, "In all this Job did not sin, nor charge God foolishly." Now, after the commencement of the second part of Job's tribulation, when Job was smitten with grievous boils all over his body, God said of Job, and we can find this in Job chapter 2 and verse 10, "In all this Job did not sin with his lips." Do you notice the difference? In the first analysis, Job didn't sin, period. In the second analysis, Job didn't sin with his lips. The indication is that God did detect a root of bitterness in Job's heart that, if nurtured, would grow into sin. So let's read this analysis again. In Job chapter 1 verse 22 it says, "In all this Job did not sin, nor charge God foolishly." And then in Job chapter 2 verse 10, God says of Job, "In all this Job did not sin with his lips." So in the first analysis, Job didn't sin, period. In the second analysis, Job didn't sin with his lips. But God did detect a root of bitterness in Job's heart that, if nurtured, would grow into sin. And indeed, as Job puts God on trial, we'll get to see exactly what God saw. Now, I'm not going to tell you up front what Job's problem was, because I want you to come to the correct conclusion on your own as we watch this trial unfold. After all, the scripture says that the saints will judge the world, and even the saints are going to judge angels. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 3. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 3, where it says that the saints will judge the world and the saints will even judge angels. But that awesome responsibility of judging the world and judging angels will only be given to the saints after we learn to judge as God judges. So first we must learn to judge as God judges, then we'll be given the opportunity to judge the world and to judge angels. So in this trial, we have Job as the prosecuting attorney. Job's three friends are the witnesses. A guy named Elihu is the defense attorney, and Yahweh is the defendant, and you are the judge. So I'll repeat that so you can get the players in mind there. Job is going to be the prosecuting attorney in this trial, as Job puts God on trial. And then Job's three friends are the witnesses in the trial. They're going to give up and give some testimony. Elihu is the defense attorney, and he's defending God. And Yahweh, God, is the defendant. And you are the judge. You must be the judge and the jury to determine if God is guilty of the charges that Job will level against him. So here we go. Are you ready for trial number two? Let's turn over to Job chapter 2, and we'll start reading in verse 11, and we'll read through verse 13. This is Job chapter 2 and verse 11 through 13. When Job's three friends heard all the evil that was come upon Job, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. When they lifted up their eyes from far away, and they didn't recognize Job, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they tore their clothes and sprinkled dust upon their ashes, so that they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights, and none spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Job was in such bad physical shape that he didn't even look like himself. And these friends sat down with him for 7 days and seven nights, fasting basically, nobody speaking a word, just mourning together with him. And so the first thing we see is that Job had three friends. These are legitimate friends. They came from afar to console him. That was their purpose, was to comfort him. And it can be very, very comforting to have friends share in our grief, because they help us to carry our burden. On the other hand, sometimes our well-meaning friends can become the burden. We're going to see that Job's three friends became Job's three enemies. They were the ones who nurtured Job's root of bitterness. How and why did this happen? It happened because these three guys didn't judge with righteous judgment. And I'm going to repeat that. Job's three friends became his three enemies because they didn't judge with righteous judgment. Many people will tell you that it's flat out wrong for us as Christians to judge people right now. Well, I must say that the people who tell you that are flat out wrong. We are called to judge right now. That is a part of our training. But the key is for us to judge righteous judgment. Many people will read Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 and end the discussion as though verse 1 is the end of the discussion. But we're going to read the rest of the story. So please now let's turn over to Matthew chapter 7 and we'll read verses 1 through 5. This is Matthew chapter 7 and verses 1 through 5. And we're turning to this so that we can understand this principle of judging righteous judgment, because we don't want to make the same mistakes that Job's three friends made that caused the situation to deteriorate from a friendship where they were there to console him to where they became enemies. They were at each other's throats. So we need to learn to judge righteous judgment. So here it is, Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1, judge not that you be not judged. And that's where people will stop. They'll say, see, we're not supposed to be judged. You need to be tolerant. Well, that's not the whole story. Let's read all of the story. In verse 2, for with whatever judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with whatever measure you measure out, it shall be measured to you again. And why do you look on the splinter that is in your brother's eye, but do not consider the big old beam that's in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, let me pull this little speck out of your eye, and behold, you've got this big, fat, gargantuan beam in your own eye. Hypocrite. Now, this is the key. A person is a hypocrite if they do it that way. If you don't want to be a hypocrite, then do it this way. First, cast the beam out of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to do what? To cast the splinter out of your brother's eye. So in judging, we should first cast the beam out of our own eye, and then we will see clearly to cast the splinter out of our brother's eye. In other words, first, we should judge ourselves, casting the beam out of our own eye, then we can judge others, casting the splinter out of our brother's eyes, thus avoiding hypocrisy. Now, let's turn over to the Gospel of John. This is in John chapter 7 and verse 24. This is the Gospel of John chapter 7 and verse 24. Here God says, "Do not judge according to sight, but do judge." You hear that? Do judge. "But when you judge, how should you judge? Judge righteous judgment." That's the key. We are to judge now. This is our training ground. If we're going to judge angels and judge the world, we need to learn how to judge now. The key is to judge righteous judgment. So we are not to judge according to sight, according to what appears to be the situation, but we are to judge righteous judgment. In our next program, we're going to go in depth to understand this principle about judging righteous judgment. Thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.
666, the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? Before you can know for sure what is the mark of the beast, you must know for sure the identity of the beast. I will reveal to you from the pages of the Bible the identity of the beast during two free seminars entitled, "What is the Mark of the Beast?" The first one will be held on Thursday, January 18th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Wesley Chapel Library, which is located at 2861 Wesley Chapel Road in Decatur, Georgia. The second seminar will be held on Thursday, February 1st from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Covington Library, which is located at 3500 Covington Highway in Decatur, Georgia. For more information, call 404-412-0032 or log on to our website at www.christianambassadors.org. Please don't miss this extremely important seminar, or you might miss the opportunity to escape the wrath of God that comes upon those who receive the mark of the beast. This message is sponsored by the ABCs of the Bible radio program.